In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, we're looking at the last 6 months of his ministry before he is crucified. And he focuses now on those 6 months. The disciples, as it were, are behind him, and he's going and headed for Jerusalem. He's focused on it. He isn't training them as such. He's leaving them behind, and they're following him. Now, and in the process of that, and remember now, he spent his time in Galilee, and in the process, chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, that means in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, so there's the Jewish leadership are out to kill him. And you'd remember in chapter 5 and in verse 18, after he said who he was, the Jews responded, verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they're out to kill him. And when you came to chapter 6, you recall that the crowd itself was very much turned off because of what he said, that he had to go to the cross and die, and they were not happy with that. And therefore, they turned off. They all left him. Remember chapter 6. And in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So now you have an intensity increasing. The increase is of the attempt of the Jewish leadership, etc., to kill him. And therefore, and where are they going to kill him? Well, if they can get him to Jerusalem, that's where the Sanhedrin is, the Jewish court that can sentence him to death, and they need to get him there. And so that's part of that. Keep that in mind. He's up in Galilee, and he's been doing a number of miracles, which are not recorded. He's up there doing all those miracles, but he doesn't make any record of them at all. And when you come to chapter 7, it's all about the taking place during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering. And in the process, as the feast is being celebrated, all of chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 are all connected to this same setting. After that, after being in Jerusalem, 7, 8, 9, 10, he then goes to Judea. So in the process, we have him waiting up in Galilee and doing his miracles. And he's there because the Galileans are not going to be so interested in having to kill him. Not so much. Jerusalem would be, because that's the power down there, the leadership down there to kill him. But not up in Galilee. They're hot-blooded and et cetera, and they just aren't going to do that. So now, having said that in chapter 7, keeping that in mind, if you would, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. That's in Judea. Now, in the process of that, the seeking to kill him, and in the process of verse 2, and now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand, and they're all going to come from 20 miles. They had to come. This is one of the three feasts that they all had to come to. This is one of them. And they're coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, a very special, wonderful time. And thus in the process that will take place, the fulfillment of it will take place in the kingdom when the king is reigning. Now, in the process, so it's at hand. So that the verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. So here he is and his family, half brothers and half sisters, are there, and they are encouraging him, they're moving him to go to the feast. He isn't going to the feast, but they're moving him to go to that feast. Now, remember, just take a moment, over in chapter 13 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. You want to remember that the Virgin Mary, after the birth of our Lord Jesus, gave birth to his four half-brothers and sisters. So she had their family. In chapter 13, verse 55, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So here's his family, and in chapter 7 again in John, his brethren. So here's his brethren that are there, and his four half-brothers are there, and they are encouraging him, challenging him to depart, to leave what he was doing, and to follow them. They're headed down to the feast in Jerusalem, and he needs to go down there. That's what he needs to do. And so they're instructing him to go down, and thus at the end, to go down there Jerusalem. And in verse 3, depart thence and go into Judea. Depart. It's a command. Go. Go. They're telling him what to do, as it were. And go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. So here you are doing miracles and works up here in Galilee. This isn't the place. What do the people care up here? If you really want to show that you're the Messiah, or that you think you are, remember, then you should go to Jerusalem, where the feast is. That's where all the people, as it were, are going to come and celebrate. They're compelled to one of those three feasts, and that's one of them. And they're all going to go down there, and all the crowd's going to be there. Jewish leadership will be there. Everyone, you want to show your works? You want to show who you are? Why are you wasting your time in Galilee with nobodies? Go down there to Jerusalem, where all the somebodies are. Let them see what you're doing, who you are. Let them see who you are. That was their instructions. To see, and to see thy works, and thus to do that the works that you're doing. Verse 3, that thou doest is in the present tense, that you're doing. You're doing them here. We'll go down and do them down there in Jerusalem. In verse 4, for there is no man that doeth these things. And by the way, before I do that, I just want to catch something. Going back to verse 2, do you see in verse 2 the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles? Hang on to that. What had they done? They had gone and taken the wonderful, everything that belonged to God, for God to be honored, for them to understand and grow and learn. They have taken all of that wonderful things that God has done, and they have claimed them for themselves. And the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, belongs to God. They are called the feast that belong to the Lord, all seven of them. They don't belong to the Jews. They belong to the Lord. The sanctuary belongs to the Lord. They have taken it all. What have we done in our day? We have taken his church and made it our church. Now watch, going back in history, how much did they do this? Over to, you'll see it in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 44. Picking up if I can. Ezekiel chapter 44, and you'll catch the flavor of it. In the rebuke to the Jews, and verse 5, 44, verse 5. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee, concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof. And mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. I want you to pay attention to what they're doing in and around and about the sanctuary and with all the wonderful truth. Verse 6. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in the flesh, to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when you offered my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. You have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourself. You have taken everything about what is about me and claimed it for yourself. You have taken all the wonderment of what it's all about for yourself. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 7. And when you do that, then it becomes ours, and you'll understand why the temple is going to be able to be destroyed by Titus in 70 AD, because it's their temple. And God said, your temple doesn't need to stand. Thus, John chapter 7, picking up in verse 4. Verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly in the public. If thou do these things, if you're going to be doing them, show thyself to the world. Now, what are you doing up here in Galilee in secret, as it were? No one cares about up here. You need to, as we shared a moment ago, you need to go down to Jerusalem to the feast, a very, very big occasion, and you need to go and do it. If you're really going to do something, do it there. Do it where everyone can see it. Do it where everyone can see it. And when he does go down, he only does one miracle in all that time. He only does one, then he leaves. Go do all these works, but he doesn't do them. Now, and in verse 4, therefore, if you're going to be knowing and trying to do all this stuff, you need to go and be doing it, showing yourself openly to the world. And that's what you need to do. And did they understand who he was? Why aren't you? You want to be somebody? You want to be great? You're telling everyone, here you are, yes. And they're all jealous. And they challenge him because he is their half-brother. And he's in the house. He's the oldest one. And he's there. And he gets all the notoriety. They're like Joseph's brothers. They weren't happy with Joseph. They weren't happy with Joseph, in his relationship to Jacob. And they aren't happy with Jesus' relationship to God. They aren't happy with that. So therefore they're going to go and make a big deal about this. and they're challenging him. Go down, we're telling you what you need to do. You need to go down there. You're wasting your time up here. And so the challenge was thrown out, and thus, not in secret, you need to do it not in secret. And thus, verse 5, for neither reason, why do they say this? For neither did his brethren believe in him. His brethren, that's all his half-brothers, sisters, they didn't believe. They just didn't. They lived in the same house. They grew up with him. Well, they didn't believe. They just didn't believe. They didn't believe. They will, but not yet. In fact, James becomes the one who is the head, as it were, elder, in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 15, he runs the whole show down there, as it were. So now, here we are. His brethren did not believe. They just did not believe. They didn't do it. And thus they weren't believing. They weren't believing. And so in the process, here they are. They're unbelievers. And you can expect what they're going to do, because they've got to do something to stop, to get after him, to somehow get after him, because he's who he is, and that bothers them. So now, verse 6, Jesus answered them and said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. My time is not yet come. Now remember now, what are they saying? You need to go to the Feast of Tabernacle. Why? To show your works. Why? So that everyone can see them and honor you. You want to be king? Then you need to get the crowd to respond and to get them to vote for you. You need to go down there and get the crowd moved to make you king. That's what they were doing. So now, having said that, so they got the world. The world needs to all, and when you do, all the world will look at you and see you're the king. So you can just pick up the mood and the flavor of that. And therefore, Jesus said, my time is not yet come. It's not come. It isn't come. But so you aren't going now? No, not going down now. Not going down. You go to the feast. My time is not yet come, but your time is always, always ready. Your time is always ready, always at hand, always there. You can do what you want in the world, with the world, because you're of the world. And you can follow the system as they flow of the crowd, whether they go here, whether they go there. But I do not do that. I do not do that. My time is not yet come. My time. But your time is already there. So now, and the reason, and we'll pick it up in a moment, in the time, your time, convenient time, suitable time, the right time. But your time, now it's my time, comparing, contrasting the two. And in the process now, and verse 7, the world cannot hate you. That's why you want me to go down and get the world's attention so I can be king, etc. Then said Jesus unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me. It hates me. It hates me. It doesn't hate you. They want to kill me. They don't want to kill you. They want to kill me. And you want me to go down there knowing they want to kill me. That's what you want me to do. So now, and so he's listening to them, and he answers them and fixes it in his answer. Verse 7, my time is not yet come. You do what you do because you belong to the world, you're in the world, you're of the world. So when the world does whatever you do, do it. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He's not part of the world. The world hates him. The world system hates him. Over to John chapter 3 for a moment. Because their deeds, works are evil. John chapter 3 again, as you would know. And in John chapter 3, picking up, please, you're looking at the word, their works, their deeds. And here it is, three times, John 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Why? Rather than light. Why? Because their deeds, their works, were evil. They're not good. They're not of God. They're not right. What they do and how they do is disconnected from God. Therefore, disconnected from good. Good and evil. They do evil. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why not? Lest their deeds or their works should be reproved. They don't want to go and have discovery of what they really are. They don't want to have that. Hang on to that. Verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, his works, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if you want to go, you're looking. The world doesn't want to go. Their deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light. They don't want to go. And if you're going to bring light into the picture, then darkness is going to hate the light because it discovers their deeds, their life. God is missing. Good is missing in their life. The rightness of God is missing. So now that men, in verse 7 again, the world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, therefore you understand that the brethren, his brethren at this point, being unbelievers, line right up with the world system. They line up with Jewry, the Jews, the leadership, and they line right up with them. And so they're going to go, down they go. And in the process of that, they're going to go in the world, the flesh. The flesh doesn't want light, doesn't want right. The flesh, religiously, is going to be religious. That's right, religious. And we love religion. That's why the Pharisees, Pharisaical righteousness, that's why you have that. Why? Because of all the Jews, Sanhedrin and the Essenes and the etc. And here they are. And in the process, there are the Pharisees. Among us are the Pharisees, and they are working day and night, as it were, to try to do the right thing. They're busy trying to be right. And they have all kinds of ways, reading in the Talmud, etc., to do right. And they were busy doing it. They washed their hands rightly with a half an egg of water, etc. They did everything just so. So, our Lord condemned the Pharisees. He condemned them. Now, were they happy with that? No, because that's the, of all the Jewish, here's the Jewish community, the leadership. And if you're going to find right, is there anyone among us that we could hold up about that are good people? Well, the Pharisees are the good people. See the Pharisees. And Jesus condemns the Pharisees. So they aren't happy at all. Aren't happy at all with what was going on. In fact, just so you see that, just in case, over to Romans, hold your finger here, over to Romans, and in chapter 10, you'll pick it up again. Romans chapter 10, if I may. Now, Romans chapter 10, picking up, if I can, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, a witness, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So they're going to trust their own righteousness. And thus, And where are they going to find the righteousness that God would give them? Well, it's in Christ, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So they're going to kill him. Therefore, here they're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is all about him. He's the king in the millennium, etc. But he isn't there. They reject him. So here's all their feast, all their religious activity that's supposed to have meaning and help them, and they have rejected Christ. It'd be like you reading your Bible and studying your Bible and rejecting the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. You could read it and study it for 1,000 years, and it will be no good to you. John 3:16 is no good without Christ. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is no good without Christ. So when they leave him out, the righteousness of God is missing, and his brethren, his half-brothers and sisters, there they are, and go to Jerusalem. Do they know this? They know what's going to happen. They're going to try to kill him. And he is the one that makes it all work and makes it all come together, and they reject him. So now, back over to John. John in chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, we have, picking up, if I can, in verse 8. Verse 7 I'll read, and then verse 8. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And remember, we just read, why don't they want light? Why don't you want Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ is involved, he condemns the world. When light is shown on something, it discovers it. When Christ is there in his time, that's why you do your time, our time, so that we don't have his time. If it's his time, he's there. His church, not ours. You don't call the shots. No. Not at all. His. If it was yours, you can do what you want. But it's his. And so it's his time. And when he's there in his time, he condemns. And so he picks the time when he's going to go. The opportune time. They can do whatever they want. They can go where they want. They belong to the system. It doesn't make any difference. The flesh to religion, it doesn't make any difference. Verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. It's a command. Go. Observe. Go observe this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. Not yet come. I want you to know, you go. You're trying to tell me to go, and I'm telling you I'm not going. It isn't my time. It's your time. Not my time. My time. It's your feast. It's your celebration. Not mine. You're doing it for your own good, for your own honor, and your own satisfaction. So now, go you up. You go ahead and go. And in the process, my time is not yet come. My time. That time. That kind of moment. That suitable, wonderful, special, fit time, time and place. My time is not yet come. Not yet come. So now, what do you mean, not yet come? It means in the process, verse 8, yet full come is a verb. It's in the perfect passive. It means has been fulfilled. My time has not been fulfilled. All that that feast stands for, all that lies ahead, has not happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. I need to be in the right place at the right time for the right reasons and it isn't my time. It's your time, not mine. God operates on his time, his timetable. And Jesus Christ is in full agreement, in harmony with God's timetable. And thus, in the process, the feast hasn't come. And you'll notice in verse 6, you'll pick up the two reasons why. Verse 7, 6, then said Jesus unto them, my time is not yet come. Yours is always ready. Verse 8, I go not up yet, not yet, for this feast, for the time is not, my time is not yet come. It isn't time. I make the feasts work. It's all about me. It isn't my time yet. Not yet. Now, having said that, and he doesn't go. So the time, the right time, the most suitable time, the opportune time. It isn't the right time. God works on the right time. They don't work on God's time. They just do what they do. You do what you do. Which restaurant, which way you want to go. We do what we do. God doesn't work that way. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan and purpose and program in what he does. So when they're challenging our Lord Jesus Christ to go, he says, listen, I'm not operating on your time. I don't use your time. Everyone else does, and you're part of the world, and you don't believe, go ahead. Doesn't matter what you do. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, remember now, here they are, and the giving them instructions on what to do. Now, to put it together, would you please note Isaiah chapter 40, may I go directly in the light of the context, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who being his counselor? Who being his counselor? The one that comes along, the one who comes along to govern and direct someone's decision wisely and firmly. Who being his, who counsels the Spirit of God? You want to tell God what to do? You want to tell God how to do it? Who does that? Who does that? Verse 14. With whom took he counsel? There's your word. Did God ever have to get consultation? Did God have to go somewhere, talk to somebody, to consult with them what to do? Did you ever try to tell God what to do? What God needs to do? You're going to help God, tell him what he needs to do. Who hath been his counselor? Verse 14, whom he took counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him in knowledge, and showed unto him the way of understanding. Well, no one. But people do. You try to tell God what to do, and then if you don't like that, what do? They turn to idolatry. If you can't talk to God, he won't listen. Then go to some religious system or idols and talk to them. Tell your idols what you want. Pray to your idols. That's what they do. Now, over if you would to Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Very directly again. I'll read verse 9 at least. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Who's going to counsel me? Who's going to tell me what to do? Who's going to advise me when to be where? To do what? Who does that? Who does that? The world does that. The flesh does that. Religion does that. All right? Now, putting that together, over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, the reverse. What does the world do? Well, they're going to go, and they're going to tell God what to do. And the Lord said to his half-brothers and sisters, you go to Jerusalem right now. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not going now. It isn't my time. Now, Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Now, and they aren't going to hearken. They aren't going to do it. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice. They didn't listen. They weren't going to take my counsel. Wonderful counselor, Isaiah 9, 6 and 9. Israel would have none of me, So what happened? God, what did you do? Well, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. So why don't you work and do what you want to do? Go do it. And I will only stop you if you get in my way. Go do what you want. It's your time. You're all ready. What difference does it make where you go or you don't go? Go do it. I gave them up to their own counsel. God, if you aren't going to listen to me, what I want done, when I want done, how I want it done, then I'll find someone that will. And God, what are you going to do? Well, then you leave me with my own dumb thought. And I have to live with my thought and my counsel. And I'm no wiser. I'm no smarter. In fact, I'm in trouble because I'm stuck having to live with my own mind and my own heart and my own IQ and my own knowledge. And that is faulty and will fail me on every at every hand. So now, having said that, over, please, in your Bible, if you would, over to, in the light of my time, etc. Romans. All kinds of ways to do it. Point. God said, I work, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity worked under the counsel of God. The half-brothers, unbelievers, unsaved, they worked in their own flesh, what they wanted to do. God gave them up. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Because it won't make any difference. You're part of the world. You're part of the system. Oh, you're religious, but religion belongs to the world system anyway. So now, over to Romans. So God, here we are looking. Here's our little word, time, my time, two different words for time. This is the word that has to do the most suitable time, the opportune time, a time to do something regarding time and place. Limits are defined. In other words, lay hold of the right moment to do before, show yourself in the world. In other words, it's time. Do things in the right time, in the right way. God said, it's your time. This is my time. This is the most suitable, wonderful, opportune time for me. I'm looking for that to happen, but it isn't yet. For you, it is now. For you, it is. For me, it is not. So God, so they're trying to counsel you, trying to help you, for good or bad. That's what they're trying to do. So here's Romans chapter 8, picking up a little word. And in Romans chapter 8, reminding yourself that, and remember now, we're waiting. What should we be doing? Well, here's our word, time, suitable, opportune, right time, and the most suitable time. And here in chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So here's the present moment in which they were living. Right now, this is the present moment. This is the opportune time, but it is nothing like what's going to be. So you're presently going through whatever, suffering, whatever, heartache, headache. in process, it's nothing like it's going to be. Nothing. Thus, this present time, this opportune time, this time, it's your time, your turn, your week, your hour, your need, school, work, home, whatever you got going on, God, it's my time right now. It's my opportunity to look to you. Hang on to that. Now, in the process, suffering for this present time. And, what are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for the right time. It's the right time to bear whatever we are. God, it wouldn't happen if you didn't allow it. So now, chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. And picking up thought, Romans 13, going directly to verse 11. And that knowing the time, there's the word, that now it is high time, that's the other word for time, the hour. Knowing that the time, the right opportune time, that now it is high, it is the hour. What is the hour? To stay awake, out of sleep, don't go to sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Wow, God, it's our time. We're waiting. It's our time at any time. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Obviously, time is gone. So you said you're soon coming way back, and here we are all these years later, and we're looking at a world that is much more ready, from a human standpoint, to have it all happen. So God, what are we going to say? Well, I want you to know, buy up the time. And you would have that without turning there in Ephesians 5 and 16. Redeeming the days because the time is evil. It's time. What are you going to do? You want to go to the marketplace? The sufferings of this present moment? This is where you live. You want to buy up the opportunity. I don't know what it is. It's an opportunity. Opportunity to what? To trust God, look to God, lean upon God. It's an opportunity. And God, it's the right time. Obviously, it's the right time. It's the one I live in. And I'm going to make sure I include you in the middle. Lord, in your perfect humanity, what did you do? I ran my clock on God's time. I wanted to be where God would have me, the right time and the right place for the right reasons, for the right results. I wanted to have that happen, and I had to trust you, God. Isn't that what you have to do? I have to do it. You have to do it. I don't know where to be. I only can be so many places at once. And all I can do is trust God to cancel, change, and fix, and I have to trust him. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I'd go bananas. I wouldn't know what to do. I just need to stay close and try to be in the right place at the right time. That's all I can do. That's all you can do. And we're going to trust God in the process. So now that's my opportune time. And I'm looking forward, waiting for his coming. And that's the hour. I'm waiting for that moment to come. So now, picking up in, please, over if you would, you're in Romans. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. May I pick up, please, as you end the section on Israel, Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who counseled him? Nobody. Nobody counseled him. Nobody counsels him. And verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Since when did God never ever need anybody to give to him so he could do something? When did God ever need anything or anybody, anytime, anywhere, to do something? Never. Never. Who's his counselor? No one. So we don't tell God what to do. We learn that. And the half-brothers, the brethren, they don't know that yet. They're going to learn it, but not yet. They're going to get it. Now, and thus, in verse 36, for of him belonging to him, and through him, he's the source, and through him, he's the agency, and to him, he's the object, are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, God, everything you originated, you make it all work out, and you're the object of getting all the glory. So God, it's all about you. It isn't about us. It isn't about our time or about our opportunities. It's yours. You're opportune, God. You have to do it right. And he does it right. And the disciples have to learn it. They have to learn it. And they're going to learn it. Wonderfully so. Now, in closing, over if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16, the end of the chapter, 4 and 16, as you know, let us therefore do what? Come boldly, bold, free, frank, fearless. Let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. Where? To the throne of grace. What for? In order that we may obtain mercy and find grace. We need mercy and grace. We do. To help in time of need. There's your little word. In time. And the little word time here has a little word in front of it, which is good, or the word well. Well timed. Well opportunity. Good opportunity. The good, well opportune time. The right time. You'll find grace and mercy to help at the most opportune time. The right time. The right time. You're going to come boldly to the throne of God. They aren't doing it, but our Lord and his perfect humanity is. He's looking to God to be in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. God, help me. And thus, here we are. So now, God, we're going to look to you, and you're going to do what you do. You're going to you're going to come and be our helper, at the right time. God, now. And he doesn't do anything. And then you wait, now. But he doesn't do anything. It isn't the right time. Weren't you looking for God's right time? If you're looking for God's right time, wait on him. Wait. You don't have to tell him to go do something. You don't have to tell him what's wrong. God already knows what's wrong. God already knows everything from start to finish. So what am I going to do? Explain to him? Explain? No, I don't need to explain to him. No, I need to trust him. Trust him. That's what they weren't doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his wonderful, perfect humanity, as the Messiah, the Christ, what did he do? He said, I'm going to be at the right place at the right time, and you aren't going to tell me what to do. I do what I have to do. I'm going to go to the cross. You're telling me not to go to the cross. I am going to go to the cross. It's the right thing to do. I'm going to go to the cross at the right time, not the wrong time. I won't be there one day sooner or one day later. And if you want to go and take all the love the other time, the word, and say, my dear friend, you have a time to be born in God's time. You could have been born 1,000 years ago, or you could still be unborn. You were born in God's time, and you will die in God's time. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to help us. Thank you for your grace to take even this little bit. And God, help us to understand what's happening and why. And God, that you're moving very systematically and wonderfully on your way to the cross. God, here we are long after the cross. We're looking to you. And we're able to come boldly into your presence. We're able to come, our God, and obtain mercy and find grace. And always, our God, in the right opportune time. God, always there at the right time for us. Never too early and never too late. Always on time. God, help us to learn to rest, rely, and relax on you. For your timing, your suitable, opportune time to do what you do, when you do, how you do. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to sing, if you would. In closing,